want to share a couple quick things with you so that we can go into another place. Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords for a second, please, if you'd like to follow along? And go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Can everybody see? Do we need some lights? Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, as believers, there always seems to be something getting away from us to get further. If the devil doesn't plant it, we plant it. Most of the time, we're our worst enemy. And the devil sits back and says, man, flips a coin up and down going, wow. I'm also take those demons and send them over here. That person's all tangled with himself. The Bible says we don't fight flesh and blood, but you must understand something, that your flesh is the seed of the serpent. So you have a fallen character that you're dragging around. And unless you're in the Spirit, it's dragging you around. Amen? So it doesn't mean that your mind's going to be perfectly pure all the time. You're not going to think about everything that's pure and holy, are you? We'd like to. In fact, we're groaning to. So these things are going to come, but it depends what we do with them is what matters. Does everybody get it? The Bible says, cast down thoughts and imaginations. They come against the knowledge of God. Primary, that's what we ought to be doing and everything. Casting down thoughts and imaginations that come against the knowledge of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In Acts 17, in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very what? Religious. They had a form of religion, didn't they? For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we have many altars. Idols, things to that degree, families, jobs, whatever, those are altars. You notice he said that, I see that you're very religious. And in fact, the Word of God can be an altar to you. People can get bound by the letter so much they become religious. And they're now building a foundation on a foundation instead of the foundation of the rock, which is the Spirit. We just did a teaching on that Tuesday. Hallelujah. So I see that you're very religious and you have an altar here that says to the unknown God. He says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. The one that you don't know is the one that you're worshiping. The other ones are false. But the one that you don't know is the true one. Sounds like God, doesn't it? This one here is the one I'm going to proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, but he dwells in temples that worship him with their hands. not by creation, but to the Creator. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He gives life, breath, and all things. He gives life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now check this out. This is not talking about just believers. This is talking about every man created in this world. Everybody. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, blinded and taken in the Spirit, the first thing I saw was like a connection of the whole world. Everybody was connected. I realized when I came out of that trance and out of the Spirit, for weeks, of course, it was difficult for me to function in this world because there was so much love in me that I felt like I was a father to all children. I didn't care how old you were. You could have been 90 and I said, "Oh, my son." I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute here." Because I was one with the Father in the infilling of His Spirit. And I realized that even the lost were my brothers and sisters. That's why they were just lost. Does everybody get it? See, the lost are your brothers and sisters. They just don't know it. My wife couldn't even take me to the mall. I couldn't take it. For about 2 or 3 weeks, right, hon? Months, she says. I couldn't take it because everything was so filthy. Because that's all it took, was a glimpse of His glory and to be in His presence, and you realize how pure and how love and loving He is. And that's all He wants to do, is give us His love. See, power is His love. People are looking for power. When you look for His love, you got the power. We're looking for what God can do, and He's already done it. Just get in His love, and it will manifest. Verse 26, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Now that's powerful. He's already pre-appointed their times and set boundaries. The problem is when we get out of those boundaries that He has set for us, that pre-appointed time has been missed. Hello? That's why we struggle, isn't it? You know, we're groaning for this transition and change. He's not a God that's trying to bring punishment to His children. He's a God that's trying to bring rescue and love to us all. But He's saying, listen, if you'll stay in these boundaries, you'll hit my pre-appointed times. Bam, bam, bam. But it's when we start going out of the boundaries that we miss God. In verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. That's why sometimes we have to hit dead low. Eat some more dirt so that we'll go after Him again. Why? Because we've gone out of the boundaries. And find Him, though He is not far from each of us. He's not far from any of us. He's right there. Verse 28. Read this with me, please. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. He's talking about every single person. Nothing was created that was created for Him and through Him. So we live, we breathe, And we have our being in him, so we're in him right now, aren't we? God is not only here, right next to us, not only is he above us and all around us, but he's in us and working through us. And 29. And he says that we're his offspring, so everybody's his offspring. Everybody is his offspring. Does everybody get it? Every creation, every bit of creation, every human being is his offspring. If they weren't, when children die, they would go to hell, wouldn't they? Hello? When children are aborted, they'd go in hell, wouldn't they? When young children die that are not at the age of accountability, they would go to hell, wouldn't they? In verse 29, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and men's devising. Now you got to understand something. He's talking to unbelievers. This is who he's telling this to. He's not telling this to believers, is he? Hallelujah. Verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. So they can what? Get back into the boundaries. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And we know who that man is. Now, if he has set boundaries and pre-appointed times for every man, for every single man on this planet, saved and unsaved, that means that there is a predestined code or spiritual DNA in each and every one of us. Every single one of us has a predestined code that's in us. Does everybody get this? Something that he's trying to bring out. Did you ever notice that when you were unsaved, you wondered where you came from, why you were here, and what you were going to do, where you were going? Too bad some believers still feel that same way, but you're not supposed to. Why am I here? Who am I, and where am I going? Because they have a predestined code, a DNA in them, a spiritual DNA that's prepared, that God has prepared. See, we're so busy looking at what's up and what happened and what's going to happen that if we go back to his womb, we know where we came from. Does everybody understand? We wouldn't get so caught up in the things that are happening and what has happened and what's got to happen if we would get caught up just for a moment that we are already in the womb of God before even creation. That he stamped a pre-spiritual DNA in me and you to fulfill a will. Not to find it, but to prove it. See, the will of God is already in each and every one of us. You don't have to find God's will. You have to prove it. Is everybody with me? I remember one day walking out of a place. You know, I remember when I used to get high and everything. I'd be going, man, you know, there's something more I'm supposed to be doing than this. There's something more I'm supposed to be doing. There's something I'm supposed to be doing that's supposed to help. And this may sound strange. Mankind. Wow, little old me. I mean, you know, I'm just a drug addict and all this other stuff. I'm gone and I'm this and that. But you know, I don't know why. There's something in me that's telling me I'm supposed to be doing something to change mankind. It's predestined in every human being that's created. See, you don't have to find the will of God. You have to prove it. Go to Ephesians 1, please. Hallelujah. Uraba sharaba sandarabia. Laharama kata kasia. Bring us in, Holy Spirit. Take us from us. Bring us in. In verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1. You know, come on, let's be truthful here now. We're in the house of God. We're not trying to be somebody we're not, because God knows our number. He knows our DNA. We spend more time trying to find the will of God. Man, what's God's will here? What's God's? What's, if we'll just start proving it, it'll manifest. Amen. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. See, you and I were blessed in heavenly places. This is before creation. Hello? You and I are already blessed in every... This was the predestined. We're already there. This is before your birth. That you're already predestined to be blessed in heavenly spiritual places. See, you were already done. It was already done. In verse 4, just as He chose us, where? In Him. Before the what? Foundations of the world. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in all love. Having what? Predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So you see, you and I are already predestined to fulfill a will that's already been in us. He didn't say go find the will of God. He said prove it. In verse 7, am I there yet? Oh, sorry. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Number 7, in Him we have what? Redemption through His blood for forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence or understanding, having made known to us the mystery of His will. It's already in us. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is neither here nor there, but within us. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed where? In Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. See, the counsel of His will was before creation. So you are already chosen in the council room of God. He had already stamped the DNA in you to fulfill His will. Let's go a little further. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to praise and of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the seal. In other words, He's the one who is assisting us to prove the will of God that's been already imparted in us. Now, if you'll just, let me just share a couple things of what He just did in this in these scriptures. In Him we are sealed, aren't we? That was before birth. You and I were already sealed before we even came into the world. The promise came after we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we got baptized in the Spirit. Why? Because it had to be a union in the Spirit and in the natural. Because the Bible says there are three witnesses in the heavens, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And there are three witnesses on earth, which is the what? Spirit, the water, and the blood. And one are one, and one bear witness of one another. But what makes the connection is the Spirit. Sometimes the reason why people are having struggles of what is going on is because of lack of fellowship in the Spirit. Not allowing the perfect will of God to be manifest by proving it, not by looking for it. Did I lose anybody? Everybody has kind of a blank face on it. Okay, let's go a little further. So we see in Him we were sealed before birth, chosen, predestined, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, and given an inheritance. Would you like me to repeat that? Yes. Okay. Let me first back up a little bit. God had already placed a seal on us. Does everybody understand that? The DNA spiritual structure. So we are sealed already with His will in us. Before you and I were born, He had already seated us in heavenly places. All right? Before you and I came into existence, we are already seated in heavenly places. So we are already seated before our birth, weren't we, in Christ? It just had to come up past, didn't it? Just like somebody gives you a check, you just have to endorse it. We were seated before birth. We are chosen. We are predestined. We are adopted. We are accepted. We were redeemed. We were forgiven and given an inheritance. And sealed with the Spirit. We are seated, chosen, predestined, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, given an inheritance, and sealed. Stamp of seal. Stamp of seal. Bam! From Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 12. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Would we read this together, please? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me share something with you. Until you begin to surrender and present your body, your will, your emotions, your imaginations, your conscience, your subconscious, your attitude, your motives, your desires, and all of your members to God every single day. Every day, you must make that choice to go and surrender. You must make that choice to go and surrender His will starts working. You must make that choice every day to go surrender. Why? So His will can become working in you that day. Just because you surrendered yesterday doesn't mean it's going to work the next day. We must surrender. Now look what the next thing says, the next verse, because this is not two things, this is all the same letter. Look at what it says in verse 2. And do not be what? Conform to this world. Why? Because if you're not doing those things, you're being conformed back to this world. But be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That you may what? That you may what? That you may what? Prove. That you may prove. That you may prove. That you may prove. That you may prove. Not that you may find, but that you may prove the will that's been sealed and stamped in you by that spiritual DNA or that code. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Of course, there's three wills, isn't there? Good, acceptable, and perfect. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Does everybody get it? 30, 60, and 100. We all want 100 fold, don't we? So we must prove the will of God that's already been sealed in me and you by making that surrender every single day. Every day. Every day. Every day. We're already predestined. That's already in me and you. That's why we struggle. Because we're groaning, wanting to do that will. We don't understand why we have this fight. But we have a groaning within us. The Bible tells us groaning, groaning for the sons of God to take over. Because you're sons and daughters of God. And God's will wants to manifest through me and you. So that it can be proven. You know, people are studying the Word of God to try and prove the will of God. Amen. Don't get me wrong. We need to know the Word because it brings us guidance, doesn't it? But the will of God for you is not in the Word, it's in you. The Word is not going to tell you what color car to go get and what kind of car to buy, is it? It's not going to tell you what house to buy. Now, don't get me wrong, you can get certain confirmations of certain things through the Word. I'm not putting the Word on down, I'm exalting it. Because He's the Word. Everybody get it? Because He's the Word. Because if you are predestined, that means you have been spiritually stamped with a program of God's will in you before you've been created. So that means in that, there had to be a predestined purpose for God, who was the Father, the Word, and the what? Spirit, which is in heaven. So, and so doing that, we, by proving the will of God, bring glory to the Father. Because the Word of God is being manifest through me and you. Does everybody get it? Because the Bible says that we are not, the Word isn't written on stone anymore, it's written in our hearts, isn't it? He says, and I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and I will put my law in their minds. So you and I are already predestined. The will of God is already in me and you. And depending on where we've gone in our boundaries determines what is going to manifest. Good, acceptable, or perfect. When we come out of our boundaries, you know, that's the pain, isn't it? We have pain when we go out of our bounds. We know when we're not walking in that way. It's like, man, something ain't right in me. Something's not right in me. Why? Because you have a desire, a DNA structure, a spiritual DNA structure that wants to prove, to manifest the perfect will of God in your life. You know how many times we take stuff and just shrug it off? Just shrug it off. It's the Holy Spirit telling us, come on. Because He's the director to manifest the perfect will of God in your life so that you can prove it. Without the Spirit, it won't work. We get convicted, why? To get back into boundaries. We get convicted for the boundaries. Now we know that the Word calls it sin. You got to understand something. God had to create a language for man to have a common ground. But in the Spirit, there really isn't a language, is it? There's an impression. It's a language. Paul said, I was taken up to the third heaven and there was a language I couldn't comprehend. It was just awesome. Because God speaks by impression to us, doesn't He? Your soul is the one that does the interpreting. That's why you and I have the Holy Spirit. So He can tell us, hey, that's not it. You know, that must be God. No, it's not. Well, Lord, this must be your will. I mean, this is what, no, it's not. Come on, look inside. I'll turn the page over. Here it is. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, in verse 24. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. Wow. Because He makes intercession for the will of God for the saints. You know Holy Spirit praying through you? He's praying the perfect will of God for you so that it can be proven in your life. In your life. Why? Because you've been predestined with a perfect will, DNA, spiritual structure implanted in you. Everybody is predestined. Everybody. You know how many people are, I'm telling you, man, there's so much religious granolaism, it's ridiculous. And I share with some people, I said, man, sometimes there's two types of Christians. Fruity and granola. The granola ones are nutty and fruity. Amen? Because sometimes we can get so off base and so out of boundary that we begin to think that something is God's will. And we begin to get on a search for God's will, and instead of having fellowship in the Spirit and let it manifest, we start looking for it. And then we get really nuts. And then we get really goofy. Amen? I mean, we all go through that, don't we? Everybody goes through it. One day you can be a granola. And the next day you can be fruity. Hallelujah. Where'd I say go? Romans 8:24. Okay. We still there? Hallelujah. I better go back there. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you ready to prove the perfect will of God in your life? You got to get more in the Spirit. Hallelujah. What verse are we on? 21? 28. Now he who searches... Okay, we already did it. In verse 28. And we know that all things work together for what? The good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? Amen. Well, man, we need to stop struggling. We need to stop fighting the will of God. You know what? Most of the time we wrestle with God more than the devil. I'm telling you, we wrestle more with God than we do the devil. God is saying, would you do this? We're going, no, we ain't doing that. Okay. I'll do it. Man, I've been wrestling with the devil. No, you've been wrestling with God, not wanting to do His perfect will so that it can be proven. The Bible says the devil touches us not. The Bible says that God has already disarmed the principalities. They don't have dominion over you. Most of our fight is with God. It's because the Spirit's going, come on, do this. No, I don't want to do this. And He's saying, would you die to yourself, please? Hallelujah. All right. And verse 29. For, let's read this together. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. What's He trying to do? Form you into His image. Why? So He can prove, so that you can prove His perfect will for your life to bring glory to His name. Jesus came into the earth and He said, because we can go through all these scriptures all night and I'm not going to. He said, I've been sent by My Father. I bear witness of Him. And He bears witness of Me. Why? What did He come to the earth for? To prove the will of God. That's why Jesus came to the earth. He came to the earth to prove the will of God for man. And if we're our offspring, we're still proving the will of God. Not finding it. It's already been predestined in each and every one of us. The reason why we struggle is because we're not willing to submit and surrender. Submit and surrender. Need a big megaphone. Submit and surrender. Man, the devil's kicking my butt today. No. You're just resisting the Spirit. What do you mean I'm resisting the Spirit? Yes, and when you resist the Spirit, you hand yourself over to the devil. Because the Bible says that the Spirit tells us all truth and brings us to all truth and tells us things to come. Man, it got real quiet in here. Okay. And verse 30. Can we read this together? Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Whoa. Wow. Let's go to Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Matthew 14. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22. And Matthew 14. Is everybody there? In verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples. He what? He made his disciples get where? In the boat. To go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. God had a plan. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Sounds like Dad, he put you right in the middle of the sea. He's about to prove something. He's got to put you right somewhere where ain't nobody can get to you but him. The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now you got to understand something. They were more than troubled. They were afraid terribly. Because at that period of time, there was a myth that if they saw a ghost walking on the sea, your boat was going to sink. So they were like going, "We're all going to die." Come on, they just got done seeing all the miracles. Jesus had to send away the multitudes. They just saw all of these wonderful things happen. And the Lord made them get in the boat, sent them out to the middle of the sea. There's Daddy praying. He sees the storm coming up. He's going, "Okay. And it's about time. They should be screaming by now." I better get out there and show them what's what. So he comes walking out there. They're, "Ah!" And then they see him go, "Wow, for sure we're going to die. Now there's that ghost." In verse 27, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying," what? "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Come on, everybody say it. "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." One more time. "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Do you understand? Your Father's telling you this. Be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. I predestined this for you. Come on. Jesus sent them in the trap. He set them right up. We've all been set up by God. And it ain't over. I'm telling you, he sets us up all the time. Why? Because he's perfecting us and he wants to prove the will of God. Not find it. Prove it. Jesus came to prove the will of God. You and I are to prove the will of God. remember one day he set me up big time. And it was cold out. I mean, you know, he had to have clothes, you know, jacket and so forth. It was cold out. So I went to go call my wife from this phone booth there. And I saw, and people were just going in and out of this convenience store, you know, with the gas pumps. And there's a body laying right in the corner of them. I'm thinking, man, doesn't anybody see this? I see the feet, bare feet out there. I'm like, Lord, what's up? Now, I'm thinking, man, you know, I got to get to this meeting. And I just know I'm being set up. I was like, you know, something's happening here. All right, what's up, Dad? So I was talking to my wife on the phone. I said, you know what, let me call you back. I mean, I don't know if I told her, honey, I see a body laying there, excuse me, but... So anyways, I just called her. I said, I'll call you back. So I walk over to the convenience store. Now, this is on the corner of Mercy Drive and 50. There's this gas station there. Convenient. And there's this body in there. Now, you got to understand, I used to hang around out there when I was doing the things I shouldn't have done. So, you know, you could... It wasn't always an uncommon thing to find a body laying somewhere. But I knew that it was cold and so forth, and I walked over there, and it was a body. And I'm like, wow. And it had a coat. It was over the head, and I couldn't tell what it, I just saw the feet. And so I sat down, and people were still going in and out of the door. You know, I'm like, what is this? So I knew Daddy was setting me up somehow. And so I lifted the hood up, and the woman, this woman, which I didn't even know it was a woman, because you can tell she'd been out on the streets for a long time. And I looked at her, and she had when she sat up and looked at me, she had an eye missing. And man, my heart sunk. And so I sat her up, and I said, are you all right? And she was like, yeah. Like, okay. I mean, it's cold out here. You got no shoes. You know, I said, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? You know, I mean, he said, why don't you pray with her? I said, okay. I said, would you like to pray? She said, yes. And her hands were crippled. And she put her hands together like this and began to pray. I was, now I'm ripped up. I'm going, all right. And you know what? She had a little cigarette butt in her top here. And, you know, I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, why don't you ask her what she wants? I said, Lord, I said, what would you like? She says, well, my feet are cold. I said, well, I'm thinking, where can I go? Lord, what do I bring her? He says, give her your shoes. It's all right. I picked her foot up. Put her next foot to my sneaker. I said, well, it'd have to be the right size. So I start taking off my shoes, and he says, give her your socks, too. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to a meeting. So I said, all right. And I took my shoes off and took my socks off, and I had to put them on her because her hands were, you know, and tied up her shoes. And I was ripped up. I was ripped up. And I said, what do I do now? He says, well, ask her what she wants. What do you want? No, basically, she was fine. She told me she was, I said, well, do I bring this woman home? Of course, I'm thinking, oh, my wife is going to love this. Where am I going to put this woman that's been living on the street? And I'm going, Lord, what? He says, well, why don't you ask her? So she told me she was living at a sister's house on the back porch, this and that, whatever. So I, you know, my mind is going, well, you know, I see she's smoking, she's probably drinking or whatever, and the Lord says, give her $10. You know what? I would have given her whatever she wanted. I don't care if she was going to go spend it on booze or cigarettes. I didn't care. I didn't care. But see, the Lord set me up to know His love. To know His love. Of course, I couldn't go to my meeting. I couldn't go to this meeting with bare feet. You know? In the winter. Hello, gentlemen, I'm here at this meeting. You forget it, you know, I mean, you wouldn't understand. So, decided to go home. I wept all the way home. I couldn't take it. I prayed, I said, Lord, when the rapture comes, take them first. Lord, please take them first. I know your word says, Lord, that the dead in Christ have to come, but Lord, please take all of the homeless first. But I got set up. But I got set up to learn something. I got set up so that I would know the heart of God. Let me tell you, you're going to get set up. Because you're not going to learn by just studying the word. You learn when you get out there and you start moving. And that's what God was doing with them right here. He sent them out. He was setting them up to prove the will of God, not to find it. To prove it. It's already engraved in us. Let's go a little further here. What did he say? Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid, right? Hey, we got to start listening to this. What's he saying to you? Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him, and he said, Lord, if it is you, what was he trying to do? Prove the will of God. He said, command me. Command me to come to you on the water. What was he doing? Proving the will of God. You don't prove it in the boat. You prove it out of the boat. Hello? It's time you get out of the comfort zone. You will not prove the will of God in the comfort zone. You'll quench the will of God in the comfort zone. You'll look for the will of God in the comfort zone, and you'll look, and you'll look, and you'll look, and you'll look, instead of getting out of it and proving it, and proving it, and proving it. So what do you say? Lord, command me to come out of this boat and walk on water so that I can prove it. And he said, come. Peter went, whoa. Hey, this is solid ground, man. Okay. Whew. Whoa, that's the weather. Whoa, that's the, oh, Lord, help! But you know what? He took the chance, didn't he? He took the chance. And you know what? You may fall. You may stumble. You may get fearful. You may hurt, and you may hurt somebody. But I'd rather get out of the boat and take a chance than stay in there and try and search for the will of God and get out and start proving the will of God. And you'll do that in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one calling everybody out of the boat. Come on, get out, will ya? There used to be a cartoon I used to watch, I forgot what it was, and somebody would go in there and say, okay, everybody out of the pool. It's like everybody out of the boat and start proving the will of God. The more we stay comfortable, the more we go down to the acceptable, the good. But I want the perfect. I want the hundredfold. Because in a hundredfold, there's a harvest. And God is looking for harvesters. We got to get out of the boat. Quit trying to go by your own strength and what you know. Who you know. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. Sometimes we need a push. Remember, Jesus pushed them out in the middle of the sea. And you know what happened when the Lord came, picked up Peter and said, come on, Pete. Got in the boat. You know what they all did? They worshiped him and realized, man, he's the Son of God. After they just saw all these miracles. But they got revelation again. So you can't live on yesterday's revelation. You'll get revelation in the Spirit. Now, let me tell you, there's a difference between revelation of word and revelation of will. There's a difference in the revelation. Oh, man, I got a wonderful revelation of the word. Great. But you need a revelation in the Spirit of proving the will of God that brings you to the next step. And brings you to the next step. And brings you to the next step. On the job training, isn't it? Let's get out of the boat. You know how many people, you know, let me share something with you. You know how many people are going to die and never pray in tongues? Because they won't get out of the boat. You know how many people are going to die and never get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because they won't get out of the boat. You know why? Because the Word of God has become a doctrine of men. And that word can be a doctrine of man. Because it's passed down by head knowledge instead of by the Spirit. Amen. Nobody's willing to get out of the boat and take a chance because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody. You know how many people Jesus hurt? How many people were offended by the things he preached? Even his own disciples left him. And then he looked at the 12 and said, "You guys want to leave too?" They said, "No, you're kidding? You left us in that boat out there. We know what goes on." Amen? We'll stay with you, Dad. No problem. Woo-hoo! So let's make that attempt to get out of the boat. Let's get out of that comfort zone. What do you got to lose? You know what you got to lose? Yourself. That's how you deny yourself daily. No one who does not deny themselves daily cannot be his disciple. You must deny your life. He who loses his life will what? Gain it. You must deny yourself and pick up the cross. We are the offspring, aren't we? So let's get out of the boat and start walking on some water. Don't worry about sinking. You got a Holy Ghost life preserver. Amen. Pray in the Spirit, you'll walk back up. Hallelujah. Why? Because we want to prove the will of God, not look for it. Amen? If we'll start proving the will of God, oh, man, you just walk right in it. It's happening. You want to stay in those boundaries. The boundaries don't mean to stay in the boat. The boundaries are walking upright, not touching unclean things. The boundaries are submitting to God and resisting the devil. The boundaries are in the boundaries of fellowship with the Spirit. Lord, command us to come out of the boat tonight. Command us, Lord, to come out of the boat tonight. You know, sometimes, let me share with you, even in worship, some people need to get out of the boat. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, sometimes I want to come out and go, get in the river. You need to let your hair down. You need to kick your shoes off. You need to get out of the boat and get in the water. Change some garments. Get refreshed. Do a little Holy Ghost shuffle. Dance, you kidding? Come on, we used to disco duck for everybody. We used to make fools of ourselves, drinking the booze and dancing like maniacs out there. Whoa! time we drank the spirit and act like a maniac. You know, this generation is looking for the power of God. Amen. They're not looking for religion.
That's right.
Religion is pushing them away. The church is offended and hurt. They're looking for the power of God. We need to walk in the power of God. We need to be the fountain. The world calls it the fountain of youth. We need to be that river of living water that's flowing through me and you. Because somebody wants a drink. Somebody needs a drink. But first you got to get drunk. You got to get filled so that somebody else can get a drink. Peter got a drink. Let's get out of the boat. Stay in our boundaries. Let's get radical for Christ. And you'll find that He'll get radical for you. Amen? Lord, we thank You for Your word today. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless You. And we want to bless You, Lord. We want to bless You. We bless Your holy name. We bless You. Can we just stand up and bless the Lord?